efficiency furnaces. Learn more at ProudlyPropane.com.
I got a message for you.
It's the Mickey Flyler Show
on WCCP
105.5 The Roar.
I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric, wavy when I turn it on. All through my city, all through my home. We're flying up, no ceiling when we in our zone. I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops.
Woo! Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Reed's Jewelers, May's one of their busiest months because you've got graduations, you've got parties, you've got wedding showers. I found out some of my best friends in the world are expecting their second child. That's awesome news. You know, you've got baby showers, wedding showers. You got all kinds of stuff. People
You Godfather?
No, I haven't asked me the Godfather yet.
Unbelievable. Maybe for number two here, huh?
Yeah. Maybe, yeah. I don't know a good one. I'm a godfather to my nieces, though. Or to one of my nieces. They're twins, and so they wanted to break them up in case something happened to, you know, anybody there.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Anyway. The Godfather. The Godfather. What a great movie. Yeah, you do.
Come to me on the day of my daughter's wedding.
Very good, man. Very good.
Make me an offer.
Very good.
Yep.
You know, that seemed kind of strange to me that's the day you don't turn somebody down on your daughter's way. Like, what? Mm-hmm. That's kind of crazy, man. The Godfather. Good, great movie. All right, let me tell you what we're talking about here today. First, let me give you a little update for those that don't know. NBA from tonight, by the way, Raptors, Cavs at 7, Rockets and Spurs. Interesting game, too, coming up at 9:30 tonight. Last night, Isaiah Thomas goes for 53. The Celtics beat the Wizards 129-119. Warriors beat the Jazz 106-94. NHL, you got two tonight. Capitals and Pens tonight, 7:30. Pens lead the series 2-1. Ducks and Oilers tonight at 10 o'clock. Oilers lead the series 2-1. We had two games from last night. Rangers beat the Sens first time in the series. Sens still lead 2-1. Rangers won last night 4-0. And this story in the NHL, Zach, I'm right about saying this, man. The story of the playoffs so far are the Preds. Preds win 2-1 last night. They're up 3-1 now over the Blues. And really huge upset. So upset in first round one. It looks like they're going to upset the Blues in round two. Are they the story of the playoffs so far?
The Preds, absolutely.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
They've been playing lights out, and you don't want to play Nashville right now.
Aaron Judge hits a couple of home runs last night. Yankee outfield hits 5 home runs last night.
First time since 1961 that the Yankee outfield has hit 5 home runs in a game.
How about the Yankee outfield 1961 on that night?
Yeah, Maris Mantle and Yogi Berra.
Yogi got out from behind the plate, played a little outfield.
Your boy
for him.
Yogi out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, love me some Yogi Berra through all that. Braves won. Braves are hanging around. They're 11-14, only 5.5 back. They're close to 500. Not bad. The Yankees are winning there. Manny Machado gets thrown out last night, and the racism continued. They did give him a standing ovation there, but more quotes coming out about Boston, that kind of stuff. Major League Baseball, pretty fascinating. Then Machado goes off after the game. We have the Wells Fargo beginning tomorrow. I said today, beginning tomorrow. It's over in Wilmington now. It's been up at Quail Hollow, but Quail Hollow is hosting the PGA Championship later on this summer. So they moved the event to Wilmington. We had a couple of players leaving the South Carolina program, a couple of former four-star defensive linemen, Dexter Wyben and Stefan Taylor. Stefan or Stefan? Taylor. But those two guys are leaving the program. Nick Saban gets a new contract through 2024, a $4 million signing bonus. He's set to make $11.125 million this year. When's too much? When's it too much? When's this enough?
11.15?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably a little too much.
But the football program,
he's the highest paid coach in American sports this year.
Oh, yeah. Who's the highest paid coach in all sports?
In the NBA, it's him.
Oh, no, in all the sports or just American sports?
Oh, I don't know what's going on in Europe. That's just another. That's out of the world. NBA Popovich makes 11.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah. The NFL, Pete Carroll and Sean Payton make 8. Coach K makes 7.3. Mike Babcock up in Toronto makes 6.25 for the NHL. And This is a weird. This is surprising. When Bruce Bochy out in San Francisco makes $6 million a year for this for the Giants.
The highest paid manager. Of course, they win it in the odd years or the even years, whenever it is.
It's a weird little cycle there. We never talked about Bumgarner riding the motorcycle, the dirt bike, and he messed up his shoulder.
I didn't see it.
You didn't see this?
No.
He was riding a dirt bike because he's Madison Bumgarner. And he dips and rides dirt bikes and drinks Budweiser like a man. And he broke his shoulder. He messed up his shoulder. He's out until after the All-Star break.
Hold on. You're telling me that riding dirt bikes, drinking Budweiser, and dipping makes you a man?
I'm telling you, in an era of sports where you have a lot of guys who are very apprehensive to do anything adventurous or dangerous, that Madison Bumgarner is a man. Yes.
Okay. I'll like Dutch used to tell Quark, I'll allow that. I'm with you on that one.
But it cost him. He's going to be out for a while.
Tony Morrell is going to join us in the next segment. We're talking about the alleged incident in Five Points at 3 o'clock where Deebo Samuel, Sky Moore, Jalen Dredd, former player Jalen Dredd, and I'm hearing this. By the way, I'm not going to read this. Holbrook's asking Will Muschamp if he can teach his baseball players how to hit. Anyway, I'm not going to get into all that stuff right now, but I've got one advice for Muschamp. What do you do? We talked about it at the end of the hour. You want to differentiate your program.
What do you do for the program, or what do you do in the situation?
In this situation, I don't care about. I mean, I do care about it. I hope nobody's really, really hurt, and I know. This will blow over. We won't talk about this next week.
Because I already think he's mishandled this.
How?
Because if there's video and he knew there was video, or there was a possible, there had to have been video, right?
There is video. There is video.
So you had to know that going in. I'm sure Deebo Samuel's a trustworthy guy. I'm sure that they have a great relationship. But you absolutely 110% cannot comment on this until you have everything presented.
But he did say, we're still gathering the facts.
But he also said the guy wasn't there.
Like, he said, I talked to Deebo Samuel, and Deebo said he wasn't there.
But there's also eyewitness accounts that place him at the scene.
You know.
So, I mean, it's conflicting reports. That's what I'm saying. Unless you have 100% certainty, I don't know why you're commenting on it.
Because he was asked about it. And he said, we're still gathering facts. I don't think Will Muschamp's done anything wrong so far. He's trusted his player, what his players told him. If Samuel misled him, that's Samuel's fault. That's not Will Muschamp's fault.
I know.
He has every reason in the world to trust Samuel right now. He's going with what the guy's telling him. I don't have a problem with him on this deal.
Sure.
But what we were trying to get to here a little bit is, on a big picture, because this will go away, you know, in the end. I want to know the big picture. What do you do in turning around this program? Turning around a football program is hard. I mean, let's face it. Getting Maryland to win again, that's a tough deal. Getting Purdue to win, that's a tough deal. Getting, you know, Washington State, Mike Leach did it, that's a tough deal. But getting those teams to win in states where the other team's really, really doing really well right now, where your arch rival's doing really, really well, it makes it that much tougher. You know, when Vanderbilt, what's the Penn State guys? I'm going crazy. When Franklin was at Vanderbilt, he had a tough job because Vanderbilt's a hard job, but it wasn't compounded by the fact that Tennessee was just great. If it was, then I doubt that Franklin, even though they recruit head-to-head a lot of guys, I doubt that he would have been able to turn it around there now. When, let's see, a tough situation. Let me see right quick here. You know, Baylor and Texas Tech and you know, some of these teams, kind of a tough deal. TCU's kind of a tough deal. They didn't have that tall task of also turning it around when Texas was great or Texas A&M was great. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do? A, you work hard. B, you just kind of go to work, and I think you have to evaluate really, really, really good. I think you have to player develop really, really, really good.
You got to forget about the team in the upstate.
Well,
can't worry about them until the end of the year.
Right, you can't worry about them. You got to go away. But you do have to understand that it does impede your process a little bit. It doesn't make it impossible, but it just makes it more difficult. So I think you got to evaluate. You know, if TCU could do it, South Carolina can do it. If Kansas State could do it, South Carolina can do it. It's been done at South Carolina. But when Spurrier did it, Clemson wasn't at the top of their game either. Georgia wasn't the top of their game either. You know, got to find a way to differentiate, but maybe you differentiate by, you know, and I've always said this about Muschamp, it's going to take him 3 or 4 or 5 years, 6 years, because he's got to build something and he's got to do it in a different way.
They won't give him 6 years. They won't give him 5 years.
If they don't, then there's no reason to hire him to begin with. You got to give the guy time. Ken is in Powdersville, 654 Roar. Hey, good morning, Ken. Thanks for calling in. How you doing this morning?
Hey, Mick. I'm doing all right. I got two things here.
All right.
One on Muschamp. I believe he did speak a little bit early. I think he ought to wait until he got all the facts in. So he put himself in a bad position right there. If something does turn out to be wrong.
Well, but he did say that we're still collecting the information. He goes, I've been out of town. Here's what he said. He said, we're still in the fact gathering, or gathering the facts. I've been out of town, so I've been out of pocket. We're still gathering the information. I had to talk to Debo Samuel, and he said he was not at the establishment, so there's incorrect report or something. You know,
that's not what he said. He was not. I have talked to Debo Samuel, and he was not at the establishment. He didn't give any room for doubt that Debo said that. He just confirmed he wasn't there.
Well, I'll say this. If someone said, hey, that's Zach different. Orr did something, I would trust you. You're not going to lie to me.
I understand that, but when you lead with, I've been out of town, we're still gathering facts, why are you making a statement at all?
Because he trusts Debo Samuel.
Make the statement. I'm sure he does, but make the statement, hey, listen, we're gathering facts right now. I have no other further comment on the situation. We'll handle it.
I don't have an issue with it. Anyway.
Well, let me add one more thing into this right quick.
All right.
If me and you, Mickey, were sitting in a bar and talking, and I got mad all of a sudden and I jumped on you, and they had pictures and they had all this other stuff, would that be a barroom fight in the state of South Carolina? But when you have three people jump on one person, I might be wrong, but I think I'm right. That's called lynching. And that is much more serious thing. So they would turn it over to the DA to let him to make the decision on whether to make charges and stuff. And it would take a little bit longer, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think, now I don't know this because I haven't taken the very first, I did take one law class, a business law class, but I hadn't taken any criminal law classes. I think that the more serious the crime, the more time it takes to put together those things. Maybe. That could be one of the things.
Yeah. Well, that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, Ken. I'll get Tony Morrell's thoughts on it coming up. Again, these are allegations. I'm not worried about this. I tell you what, if it is Samuel, if it is Sky Moore, that's a big deal for South Carolina. That's their best defensive player and one of the two or three best offensive players. But we'll you know, all this will come to light when it's all said and done. I'm thinking bigger picture here. Zach, if you could give Will Muschamp two or three pieces of advice. Hey, man, how do you turn this thing around? What is it? Hey, Zach Orr, Mr. Orr 24. How do I turn this thing around? What do you say?
Put the blinders on. Work hard. And be honest with the fan base.
The fan base, if you're honest with them, mm-hmm. he's got to be honest to a certain extent, but he also can't be too honest.
Why?
Because, let me ask you if these are true statements. South Carolina's not very good in football. They don't have very many playmakers. It's a long rebuilding process. Where are these statements true?
Sure.
Will Muschamp can't say that. Because he's got to sell tickets, and he's got to get people excited, and he's got to be able to recruit. You can't tell the truth.
You can say it in a matter of speaking, though.
Yeah.
Listen, there's a long road ahead.
Yeah.
The program is not at the point we want it to be at. We're going to get better talent in here in the years to come.
Yeah.
You can say that.
Yeah. A question, though, is the talent getting better? First year recruiting classes, is it better?
No.
it could have been much worse.
It could have been way worse.
Yeah. 654-ROAR, 654-7627. We've got Tony Morrell, got Sam Black. We've got a lot of stuff to do. I want to tell you about our friends at Crute LED. One of the best parts of my job is learning more about these businesses that we do business with. And I knew that lights hum and aggravate the the mess out of you. I knew that. I didn't know what a UL certified or DLC certified or ES certified means. After meeting with Dr. Patel, I now know what that means. I didn't know that, I knew that Duke Energy wanted to save people power and on their power bills. I know that, they wanted to be more, you know, in a conservation mode, but I didn't know that they're doing it with these tube lights and these rebates. And I didn't know you could have upfront rebates like this. Here's the deal. If you're a Duke customer in a business, you call Crute LED, go to CruteLED.com. It's K-R-U-T-L-E-D.com. They verify your Duke Power account number, and then they pass these upfront rebates to your business. LED tube lights for $4, high bay LED high bay light fixtures for $79, parking lot light fixtures for $99, down light fixtures or down light tube lights right now, just $4, or down lights, I should say, for just $4. All this on the upfront rebate, you can't beat it. It saves you money in your power bill. It improves your health, your way of life. It's more environmentally friendly. It saves in every imaginable way. It's a no-brainer. If you are a Duke Energy customer in a business, there's no reason not to do this. This is like just a no-brainer. Everybody would do this. CruteLED.com, K-R-U-T-L-E-D.com. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Tony Morrell's going to join us. I'll get a little bit in his what he knows about these facts, much more into Cookout, and much more into the guys that left and what that means to the program when you return for more. It's the Mickey Plyler Show. We are 105.5 The Roar.
The sun is out, beach bags are packed, the kids are actually ready, and you forgot to replace the batteries to the golf cart. Don't let small things like this put a hitch in your seasonal plans. C&R Golf Carts is here for you with Interstate batteries as low as $495 and battery chargers as low as $295. You can rest easy this season. Mention Mickey or Walt, and C&R will give you $25 off your purchase. Visit 4028 Calhoun Memorial Highway in Easley for Interstate batteries.
CMH Services has again been recognized as an MVP dealer by the Material Handling Industry's leading trade organization, MHEDA, for 5 consecutive years. In earning the award, CMH Services demonstrated excellence in the areas of industry advocacy, customer service and safety, business networking, continuing education, and business best practices. Get award-winning material handling solutions at CMH Services. Call 800-922-9569. That's 800-922-9569.
It's auction time again. Saturday, May 6th, the Johnny King Auctioneers returns to Hollis Jackson Farm in Inman, South Carolina. They'll be selling cars, trucks, tractors, skid steers, excavators, golf carts, bulldozers, storage containers, tools, and so much more. Anybody can buy, anybody can sell. Go to jkauctions.com for all auction information or call 554-0929. That's Saturday, May 6th in Inman. Go Tigers from Johnny King Auctioneers, bringing buyers and sellers together.
The Clemson Area Chamber of Commerce invites you to participate in its annual golf tournament presented by Clemson Downs, May 5th at Bosco Bell Golf Club. The format will be captain's choice with teams of four and a shotgun start at 8 a.m. Also participate in a raffle drawing, poker challenge, and awards ceremony. Part of the proceeds will benefit the Clemson Free Clinic. Registration is required prior to the tournament. Call the Clemson Area Chamber at 864-654-1200.
You can't make a living walking in the woods, but you can at least get there in confidence on a set of Toyo Open Country MTs installed by the Pendleton Tire Company. Wrap those Toyos around a set of Fuel Moto Metal or XD wheels. How about a lift from Rough Country, Fabtech, or McGoy's? Finish off that look with a set of NFab step bars, and don't forget the WeatherTech floor liners. Call Joey or Zach today at 646-3694 or check us out at PendletonTire.com.
Hi, friends. Let me tell you about the great story at Harry's Razors, where Jeff and Andy, just two ordinary guys, were fed up with getting ripped off. You don't have to be ripped off anymore. Just start shaving with Harry's. They started their own company. I love this. By taking less of a profit, that means $2 a blade rather than $4 a blade. Wouldn't it be nice if we were able to cut most of our expenses in half? They've got a great deal going for you right now. They're starter sets. The set includes an ergonomic handle in the color of your choice, 5 precision engineered blades with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. This entire month of shaving for just $15. Now, this is an everyday great deal, but have a great special offer for fans of the show now. You can get this for even less. We've partnered with Harry's.com to give you $5 off your first purchase with the promo code Mickey. So go to Harry's.com now, enter the code Mickey at checkout to claim your offer. That's Harry's.com. The code is Mickey. Don't wait. Get started with Harry's and Harry's.com today.
Looking for delicious and innovative food in downtown Clemson? The Blue Heron Restaurant and Sushi Bar is the answer. Fresh house-cut steaks and seafood and free-range poultry are just a few of the menu items that define the Blue Heron. And specials like Thursday's Burger and a Brew. Any one of our delicious burgers and domestic beer for $10. The finest steaks and fresh seafood at the Blue Heron, College Avenue, Clemson. Visit our website at blueheronfood.com.
It's the Mickey Plyler Show.
And you will respect my authority.
On WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Get a good feeling, yeah. I get a feeling that I never, 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 never had before. No, no, I get a good feeling, yeah. Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling, yeah. I get a feeling that I never, 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 never had before. No, no, I get a good feeling, yeah.
Yes, I can't doubt, better leave. I'm running with this plan.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us here on a Wednesday. It's going to sound like Tuesday at 8:05. It's not. Tony Morrell moved back a day and kind enough to be with us here on a Wednesday. Good morning, Tony. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, Mickey. How about you?
We're great. Everything's good here. Hope everybody's well and your family and all this kind of stuff. Let me go ahead and start about what we don't know. I don't want to spend a ton of time on it, on stuff that's alleged and don't even know what happened. What's your thoughts? Is this a major concern with the 5-point stuff? What do we know? What do we expect? You have any thoughts on it coming up so far from what we do know?
Yeah, not a ton, but other than, you know, Muschamp did come out last night in Lancaster and say that Deebo Samuel was not there and was, I guess, misidentified by either the guy who's making the claims or a witness. But he was named in the police report, but he was not there. Jalen Dredd is no longer with the program, so it really just comes down to Sky Moore and exactly what happened. He hasn't been charged with anything. You know, I guess what has been alleged to have happened is that the guy that was assaulted thought someone knocked his phone out of his hand and thought it was Sky, and, you know, some sort of accusation was made, and then an altercation ensued. But I don't know really any more than that, and but the fact that he hasn't been charged with anything yet leads me to believe that it's probably not going to turn out to be much, but we'll just have to wait and see for sure as more details come available.
We have two Gamecocks leave the program yesterday, and Wyman and Taylor. With Wyman, we know because I think we've maybe had a little more sample size with him. It just didn't seem like it was going to work out. Is that the case? I know you talked about him many times. I've asked you about him with all the text messages people ask about all the time. But your thoughts on both those guys and really what that means, any kind of void left behind, and what kind of players either might have been?
Yeah, Wyman, I think, you know, like you said, we've gotten to the point in his career where it just wasn't going to happen. And I think he wanted an opportunity for playing time and decided to head to South Carolina State to try to, finish his career off on the field versus watching from the sidelines. Stephon Taylor, you know, was down to about 270 pounds in the spring, and that's obviously too light to play defensive tackle, and he wasn't an end. So I think he just has not been, a little bit homesick, I guess, is the word, and has not been as committed as he needed to be to the strength and conditioning program, and has also battled some injuries. You know, he had the shoulder surgery coming in, and as a true freshman, and redshirted last year. And I think he just wanted to get closer to home, from what Muschamp has said. And don't know exactly where he'll end up, but I think he's not someone they were counting on this year. You know, had he gotten with the program, I think he had the talent to help him in the future. But, he was not in the mix this year and didn't project to be part of their rotation based on where he was in the spring, both from a size standpoint and a performance standpoint.
That said, remind folks coming out of the spring, it is still an area of concern, but for guys going to the fall right now, who do you feel better on that front four? Maybe even the depth-wise, too, guys that contribute. Maybe some of the young guys that are coming on. What's the thoughts about the defensive line, since those guys really weren't going to be a big part anyway?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be a lot of the same faces from last year, and the big addition is going to be Javon Kinlaw. You know, he's the guy that he's enrolled for Maymester and is, you know, we're going to be working out with the team. It's going to get a little bit of a head start there. And I know that three technique is really the position where they felt like they were weakest last year. And they think Kinlaw is going to have a chance to come in and provide some immediate help. You know, the other guys on the inside, I mean, it's Taylor Stallworth, Kelsey Griffin, Ulrich Jones. Kobe Smith is a guy they like who played some last year. He had a really good spring and I think has a chance to maybe come on and be a starter this year. And then Keir Thomas will see time both at defensive tackle and defensive end. But, you know, not a lot of new faces in there really, but just, you know, Kobe Smith and Keir Thomas are probably the two young guys they're most excited about. And then Aaron Thompson has worked some at defensive end and defensive tackle. He's a kid that redshirted last year. So he's another one that could possibly be a part of the rotation. But I think in terms of newcomers, Kinlaw is the one to watch.
All right, had a big cookout weekend from this weekend. A lot of news coming out of it. I'll ask specifically about some other guys that you don't touch on. But if you had to pick out two or three of the major storylines, the best news coming out of it, what was the big news coming out of it this weekend?
Well, you know, I think Dax Hollifield is a guy I've mentioned on the show multiple times in the past, and he's been a priority for the Gamecock coaching staff since the day they offered him. They really feel like he's the kind of inside linebacker they're looking for, the kind of guy that can be a multi-year starter and a leader in the middle of the defense. And he had a great visit, and I think there's some signs that he's getting closer to maybe pulling the trigger on a commitment. And they're excited about the possibility of adding him, and feel like he'd be a big piece of the puzzle. And I think linebacker is really a position where you could see a run of commitments here pretty soon for South Carolina. Ernest Jones from Ware County in Waycross, Georgia, is going to announce on Friday, and it's looking like it's going to be South Carolina. Rosendo Lewis is a South Florida kid down Deerfield Beach, another linebacker who plans to announce later this month, I think around May 15th. And I think South Carolina is in good shape with him. He did take a visit to Oklahoma this past weekend, but I think they're in good shape there. And then, you know, R.J. Roderick, from Cane Bay, who South Carolina offered a couple of weeks ago, was at the cookout, had a really good visit, and I think he's another one to maybe watch as a possible commitment here in the next couple of weeks. And then Gavin Schoenwald is a tight end out of Brentwood, the Nashville area, had a great visit. And I think South Carolina leads on him. And then Trey Dean, safety from Dutchtown in Georgia, also had a great visit. He's a highly recruited kid. A lot of schools are high on, and I think South Carolina's right there in his top two or three coming off the cookout.
Can you look into it? I know you got coaches still on the road right now. They've got camps, you know, coming up. Commitment. By the way, I don't even know what commitment wise looks like right now. But can you look at it to say going into the fall, you know, how many the numbers would look like? How many they could be waiting on? Kind of walk us through numbers and what Gamecock fans, because you said it could be some run on commitments here coming up soon.
Yeah, I think so. I think with what could happen this month combined with what's likely to happen in June and July at camp, you know, this time at that point last year in June and July is really when the coaches started pushing for some commitments, guys that they had in camps they really liked and knew that they were sold on. That's when they really started pushing for them, and I think they'll do the same thing this year. So I could easily, you know, see them having 10 or 12, 14 commitments even by the end of the summer, and then, you know, go into the season with over half their class in place. So I think that would be an ideal scenario, and then that would give them a chance to watch a lot of other guys play as seniors and get a better feel for them at that point, and then close it out during and after the season. But I do expect, you know, there'd be a run on commitments here in the next 2-3 months, and really – I think the class will start becoming much more clear on how it's likely to end up.
I know that that will become clear later. I'll ask you now, where is this class maybe compared to last year's class at this time, maybe some other Gamecock classes at this time? Is this the kind of class that, that will continue Will Muschamp's, you know, maybe ascension of trying to turn the program back around?
I think it's similar to where they were at this point last year. I would say it's behind what I expected it to be, honestly. You know, if you'd asked me, three, 4 months ago where I thought it would be right now, you know, I would have thought they had a much better chance at Josh Belk than ended up having. Same thing with Xavier Thomas. I mean, they've had some things that have unfolded in this class that have, I think, you know, unexpectedly gone the other way for them. So, I think it's important for them to establish some momentum this month heading into camps, and then, you know, have some really good groups of players come in and land some guys this summer and get the snowball moving in the right direction. So, but I think it's pretty similar to where they were at this point last year. I don't think they're overly concerned about the class as a whole, but certainly they still have some needs at certain positions, mainly on the defensive line, that they're going to have to fill some holes with some guys that, you know, when they missed on Belk and Thomas, it created a scenario where they're going to have to find some other quality players to fill those voids.
All right, the difference in a good class and a great class, it always comes down to two or three or four players in there. Are there guys that are in this class still, and you talked about missing on a couple of guys so far, are there guys that just can't afford to miss on in order to have a great class?
Well, I think Dax Holifield, Channing Tindall at linebacker would be two of those guys. You know, I don't know if there's any standout, you know, obvious candidates on the defensive line, but I think it's very important that they have a good defensive line class. They have to continue building that depth and getting to the point where they're, you know, talented enough to hold up week in and week out up front on defense, because it's just so difficult to be good on that side of the ball if you're not good enough on the defensive line. So I think that's defensive line and defensive tackle, I think, are two big positions to watch. You know, they want to take two quarterbacks in this class. Tekarion Joyner plans to announce next month. He has made his decision. I think it's going to be South Carolina. And they want to take one more. So I think, you know, building the future of that position after Jake Bentley, I think, is going to be big. So I think who else they land to go with Joyner is something to watch. And then, you know, beyond that, I think it's just a matter of you know, landing some of their priority targets at different positions. You know, I think I feel pretty good about the running back position, but I think still they need to land one or two guys that can help them for the future there. Same with continuing to build the wide receiver depth and tight end depth. And then, you know, Eric Wolford's working hard to put together another good offensive line class. They've got three guys committed to them there now and want to take one more guard and one more tackle. So.
All right, we've got a subject going on the show this morning, and I didn't mean certain people took it as the 5-point stuff. I don't care about the 5-point stuff. That'll work itself out either way. I'm talking about what do you do if you're Will Muschamp? And correct me if I'm wrong, or if you've heard anything to the contrary, or if you can affirm this, that when Muschamp got there, you want to differentiate yourself a little bit. You want to do the anti-Dabo, find a way to differentiate yourself. Is that something that was important to him? Because it sets up part two of the question. Have you heard him make statements like, we're going to do things, you know, differently than how they might be doing things in the upstate?
I haven't really heard any yeah. talk along those lines. I think, you know, Will Muschamp is not going to try to be someone that he's not.
Right.
You know, he's not going to, try to do something he's uncomfortable with. So he's going to be who he is and do things his way. And I think he's had a plan on how he wants to build the program. And, you know, certainly there's some things I think have to happen for him to have the success he's looking for on the recruiting trail. I think he's going to have to prove himself more as a head coach and take that objection away. I think right now it's just a little bit too easy for opposing teams to make players feel uncomfortable about whether Muschamp can win at South Carolina or even win as a head coach, because he hasn't really proven that yet. So I think the more success he can have on the field, the more success he's going to have in recruiting and building the program and building a brand and doing all the things he wants to accomplish. But I don't think he's overly focused on what's going on at Clemson. I think he realizes that you know, Clemson's at a different point in their process right now under Sweeney than where Muschamp is right now. All he can control is you know, what's happening at South Carolina and you know, the work he's putting in day to day to get the program where he wants it to be.
That said, because you mentioned Thomas and Belk earlier, that, I mean, obviously you get Thomas and Belk, it helps the turnaround a little easier. I mentioned before that the job, because of their success, makes it more difficult, you know, on Will Muschamp. Sure. If you could give Muschamp any advice on the one or two things, man, this is how you're going to have to do this, how to turn it around. What does he need to do that either he's doing, do better of, do more of, or continue to accentuate that, or maybe even change course of direction a little bit and kind of accelerate the process of rebuilding it?
Well, yeah, that's a tough one. I think that they have to, and we've talked about this before, but they have to be able to go into Georgia and Florida and North Carolina and some of these, you know, surrounding states and get some difference makers. And they've had some success in Georgia. They've not had as much success in Florida as I thought they might, honestly. But they do project, I think, to land a few from down there this year. North Carolina, I think, is an important state. But I think they have to continue to work cooperatively as a staff and just do everything they can when they get these quality players from in-state and out-of-state on campus to impress them and get them to buy in to being a part of turning the program around and really selling the vision. You know, it's not going to happen overnight. There's no question about that. But I do think Muschamp and his coaches are putting in the work day in and day out and have the kind of plan and you know, are doing what it takes. It's just, it's going to be a slow crawl versus you know, something that happens quickly.
Totally agree with that. And I mentioned before, I don't know if Muschamp gets it done or not. I've said this 100 times on this radio show. I don't know if he gets it done or not, but I know one thing. If he does do it, it's going to take time. Tony, as I'll ask you on twofolds here. Fans talk about being patient and preach being patient, but in the end, it's a hard, hard thing to do. You see it on your message board. You see it all the time anyway. Will the fans be patient enough? And more importantly, will Ray Tanner be patient enough to give Muschamp the opportunity to do what he's got to do and to be successful long term here?
I do think Ray Tanner will be patient enough. I think, you know, Tanner understood the scenario that Muschamp inherited and you know, exactly where things stood when he arrived and what was required to turn the program around. I've heard nothing to indicate Tanner's not, you know, planning to give him every opportunity and the time he needs to make it happen. Fan-wise, I think it's going to vary from person to person. You know, there's, I think, still a segment of the Gamecock fan base that isn't completely on board with Will Muschamp as a coach. There's others that understand, you know, what he's facing and how hard he's working to turn it around. And I think we'll be patient with him, but I do think that Tanner and the administration, and they've given him the support he needs and the, you know, the votes of confidence he needs. And they know he's doing what they've asked him to do. When he took the job, they wanted him to be a guy that was there full time, that was working, you know, 14, 16 hour days. And he's been doing that consistently and I think is taking the right approach, but some things are going to need to fall into place and they're going to need to win some football games on the field and be able to sell the vision of the program going forward.
Great place to find the information, thebigspur.com. We've got John Whittle talking some baseball coming up in the next hour, but tell us about what's on the site and really how folks can subscribe to the best in South Carolina coverage.
Yeah, I've got some recruiting scoop on the site this morning. You know, the coaches continue to hand out offers here during the evaluation period, and we've gotten reaction from multiple guys in our recruiting scoop this morning, and we'll continue to cover recruiting very heavily throughout the rest of this month as the evaluation period continues, and then, you know, summer camps will be here early next month, and we'll cover those as well. So a lot of good recruiting stuff, I think, in the next 2 to 3 months. And like we said earlier in the segment, I think a run of commitments is likely and should be a lot of good content on thebigspur.com.
The place to find it, thebigspur.com. Hey, Tony, appreciate you moving today for us and looking forward to talking with you next week, buddy.
Sounds good.
Thanks. All right, buddy. That's our friend Tony Morrell of thebigspur.com. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Sam Blackman is going to join us. We're going to talk about the little Clemson sports history here. There was several sports that used to be here at Clemson that aren't anymore. He'll tell you about that. John Whittle will talk about the Gamecock baseball program coming up in hour number 3 and what they can do to turn their fortunes around. We'll continue with this with much more. It's the Mickey Pollard Show. We are 105.5 The Roar.
It's not easy getting the whole family around one table, but the next time you do, let Bojangles do the cooking, because nothing brings people together like our chicken and biscuits. Grab a 12-piece Super Tailgate Special for just $24.99. Bojangles, it's bow time.
In life, finding quality in anything can sometimes be difficult. Custom Collision would like for you to know that there are still a few places out there where quality matters. You can rest assured that at Custom Collision, not only will you be impressed with the quality of the finished product, but you will experience the quality of service that is unmatched. From taking care of your rental to handling the insurance, Custom Collision is there for you. Custom Collision, when quality counts. 231-6900 or online at CustomCollisionInc.com.
It's always a good time to look and feel good. At Roosters Men's Grooming Center, you can count on a team that will make you feel your absolute best. The many services provided will keep you coming back for more. Come by for anything from a close shave and professional haircut to a 7-step facial shave. Fellas, treat yourself. You deserve it. Don't have enough time on your hands for the full service? Ask us about our express cut. Call 864-884-8920 to make your appointment.
It's a great time to buy a new car, and the best place to shop for one is Walhalla's Ford dealer, Edwards Auto Sales. In business for over 50 years, you'll find a great selection of new and certified pre-owned Fords, plus lots of local trade-ins. The Edwards family believes in customer service and was voted Oconee's best new car dealer for the fifth year in a row in 2016. For the best price, best service, and the best car buying experience, go see Edwards Auto Sales, Highway 28 in Walhalla.
At Simmons Mattress Outlet in Seneca, we've added new models with the new year. We now carry both Serta and Beautyrest for more selection and more savings on your new mattress. We have the largest in-stock inventory around, so you can always find the mattress you need at the right price. And when you buy your new mattress, we give you the box spring free. Open 7 days a week. Simmons Mattress Outlet is located in the old Walmart across from Chick-fil-A in Seneca.
Hit a home run with Founders Federal Credit Union. Now open in Tigertown, Founders Clemson location is located on Highway 93 next to Walmart Neighborhood Market. We also have 4 on-campus ATMs, 3 of which accept cash and check deposits. Visit RelaxJoinFounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Relax. Go Tigers. Founders Federal Credit Union, located on Highway 93 in Clemson. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by the NCUA.
It's that time of year. Summertime is creeping in, and you panic while looking at your yard. McNeely's store and rental is here for you with Steel Dealer Days April 7th through May 28th. Take an extra 10% off non-sale items. Come out April 28th through April 29th for deals and food provided by Palmetto Smokehouse. Demo new steel battery-powered line products. You heard that right. This is not your grandpa's chainsaw. McNeely's store rental, 980 Tiger Boulevard in Clemson.
If you or a loved one is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction, call Addiction Recovery now at 864-520-5126. Our trained addiction specialists are available 24/7, and all calls are free and confidential. Your insurance may cover 100% of all costs, so call now. We work with top accredited facilities across the country for any kind of addiction and age group. So let Addiction Recovery now find the best option to fit your needs. Call now at 864-520-5126.
Broadcasting live from where the Blue Ridge yawns its greatness. We are WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Our friends at CNR Golf Carts want you to know you get your custom-made golf cart there. You get your golf cart batteries there. You get your golf chargers there. They sell everything, and they take care of you, and they service these things. You're going to love CNR Golf Carts and really love all the deals that are going on over there. Golf carts are fun. They're great to have. They're convenient. The only bad thing that happens is what happens when the battery dies? What happens when you need new batteries? What happens if your charger has issues? They've got all this, all these accessories and more. The Interstate batteries, which is top of the line, just $495. The battery chargers right now, just $295. Mention my name, Mickey, and they're going to give you $25 off. I love that idea, man. If you don't know me, man, I'm going to save you $25. Just mention my name. That's really cool. The Interstate Battery Headquarters. Go by and see these good folks. Get your golf carts there. It's CNR Custom Golf Carts. They're at 295-3555. Call them today, 295-3555. Or they're also at 4028 Calhoun Memorial Highway over in Easley. Good friends, man. I need a golf cart, man. I need me to customize. I need me to soup up one of golf carts, get my speakers all in there, man, get the outside done right, my tires done right. I need to get it all at CNR Golf Carts. Good stuff. John Whittle joins us at 8:05 this morning talking Gamecock baseball. We're going to talk some Clemson athletics now with local author and historian Sam Blackman. Good morning, Sammy. How you doing, man?
Good morning, Mickey. How are you?
Great. Our intern, Sean, says, hey, are you running behind? Sammy's at 7:45. Well, we are. I appreciate you moving back for us because of Tony moving a day back. So
sure.
Appreciate that. Sammy, we have sports. We talked a couple weeks ago about the sports at Clemson that have been added and when we added them, and we got softball coming. That's great. There's another side of the story, though. There are sports that we used to have here that we don't have anymore. We're going to kind of go over some of those, the history of those, and how successful they were and why they're not here. Kind of go over some of those for us, too.
Sure, sure. Well, Mickey, there's an array of sports that we've had and, you know, discontinued at Clemson. Well, the first going alphabetically order was boxing. Boxing was a very successful sport. It came to Clemson in 1928, and then they discontinued the sport in 1948. So it was a very popular sport. It was a sport Clemson won two conference championships in 1938, 1940. They won the Southern Conference Championship, and then they went to the NCAA tournament twice. They had some individuals to go, and Clemson finished 16th in 1937 and tied for eighth in 1938. We had the Finnish runner-up in the 135-pound class. His name was John Ripper Murray, and he later became a medical doctor and very successful medical doctor. He even started a hospital. He and another doctor started a hospital there somewhere in the state of Florida, and he was just a wonderful man, very smart man, and he was from Charleston, South Carolina. But we've had a lot of good athletes to come through, and of course, I don't mention boxing without mentioning Warren Wilson, who was a heavyweight champion and for Clemson, and he would just help us lead Clemson to the 1940 Southern Conference Championship, and he was from Atlanta, Georgia. He was a Golden Gloves boxer there, and he was very highly touted. He also played some football too, Mickey, and he was a prospect to go professional. Jack Dempsey wrote him a letter, and I saw the letter. It said, no one hits harder than you. You're going to be the next heavyweight champion of the world, and I want you to come train with me. And he signed it, Jack Dempsey. And he did go up and train, but he was involved in an accident. He was living in New York City, and where he's living had a natural gas leak, and he inhaled too much natural gas, and he stayed in the hospital for weeks, and then World War II broke out, and it really he just never, when he came back, he just didn't have it like he used to. And then plus two, I think he wanted to go ahead and start his family. I think he had already started it before he left. So it was just one of those things that just wasn't meant to be, but it was awfully close. I mean, I think he was already starting to fight professionally, but boxing was a very popular sport at Clemson, and then Mickey, we also had fencing at Clemson. This started in the late '60s. You might say, why did we have fencing? Well, this professor, Hal Coolidge, he was an architecture professor. He wanted his students to have something to think about besides just school, besides just architecture. You know, you and I've known people, and they are always over there in the studio or doing some projects and things like this. They have little time of their own. So, but he wanted them to do something besides just there in the studio and working on schoolwork. So he started a little fencing club. At that time, Mickey, I think this is a very important point. There was a cup or trophy given to the best all-around sports program in Atlantic Coast Conference, and it was called the Carmichael Cup. And they would count a lot of the different sports that the ACC sponsored. And Clemson did not have fencing. They did not have in the 60s. They didn't have soccer until 67. And Bill McClellan wanted us to be more competitive and have a chance to win that Carmichael Cup. So he went to Mr. Cooley and said, we need to make this a varsity sport. And so he agreed to help coach the team to get it started. But they were very successful, Mickey. In the 60s, they finished 15th, and then they finished 25th, and then they finished 13th nationally. And then they hired a coach, Charlie Poteet, in the mid 70s, and he took the program to new heights. I mean, they won the Atlantic Coast Conference Championship in 1979 and won an ACC regular season championship in 79 and 80. And he had a lot of All-Americans, et cetera. And in 1982, Mickey, Clemson finished second in the nation in men's fencing. And then when they got back, they said, we're going to have to discontinue your program. It's a very costly program. You have to fly officials down here, you know, to officiate the matches, et cetera. And they just thought it was and then they did away with the Carmichael Cup as well. So Clemson, I think, finished like second maybe once or twice in that Carmichael Cup race. But that's one of the reasons we started men's fencing, is just, you know, trying to, you know, be one of the best programs in Atlantic Coast Conference. It was a good motivational factor. And I know we're not going to get to everything today, but we also had women's fencing too, Mickey. They did a really good job to start off with. And they went to the national championships in 1981 and finished 16th at the AIAW. And then Clemson also, Mickey, was in an inaugural NCAA tournament. You know, the women's NCAA tournaments began in 1981-1982 school year. And Clemson finished eighth in 1982, and then again they discontinued the program. And so I know our time is just about up, but I just wanted just to go over those programs, and we can finish this up for next week.
Yeah, we'll do that, Sammy, with some swimming and wrestling, some of those things that we had there.
Yeah, wrestling was a very successful, and you and I both know, Mickey, it was a very popular sport as well.
Yeah, well, and I was going to ask you, I only had about 15, 20 seconds, but boxing, I'd imagine you got an all-male cadet corps, you got some testosterone there. Sammy, boxing had to be a pretty big deal, I think, for the time frame they had it.
Very popular sport, Mickey. They used to fill up little fight field house, about 4,000 people. It's a good Saturday afternoon. You played basketball, then you'd have a boxing match to top it off. It was a good way to spend a Saturday afternoon.
That's very cool. Let's talk some wrestling, swimming, some of that stuff next week.
We'll finish this up, and I want to get a little more into boxing next week as well.
Sounds great, Sam. We always appreciate it. Hey, before I let you go, how about the books? I know you got several out, and I know you're working on more and all this kind of stuff. Where can folks find your books?
We just finished the third edition of Clemson, Where the Tigers Play, and it's supposed to be out this fall. We're very excited about it. I think it came out to be about 400 some odd pages this year, this time. So we're just very excited about it. And and it should be out this fall. It's got a beautiful cover, and it's the most comprehensive book to cover all of Clemson sports, and we're very excited.
Well, very cool. I appreciate it. Hey, Sam, let's talk next week if we can, buddy.
All right. I hope everyone has a good week.
That's our good friend, Sam Blackman. Certainly appreciate that. I always enjoy learning much more about it. Even boxing is a big deal, man. Got to think about that. Hey, let me tell you about Harry's Razors and what Harry's has been able to do for us at harrysandharrys.com. Right now, they've got some great news for you. They've got special offers. You can get started with Harry's Razors. The starter set includes an ergonomic handle, the color of your choice, 5 precision engineered blades, the lubricating strip, the trimmer blade, the rich lathering shave gel, the travel blade cover. You get an entire month shaving right now for just $15. You heard me right, $15 now. It can be even better. The everyday deal that goes even farther with our listeners, you mention my name and the promo code at checkout, they're going to give you $5 off of that. Don't wait. Get started today. Go to harrys.com, harrys.com. Put in the promo code Mickey at checkout, and they're going to give you $5 off. That's harrys.com, $5 off of that. The great starter set. I don't know of anybody out there that's not using Harry's now, but if you're the last person in the upstate that's not using Harry's, go to harrys.com, put in my promo code, get you for just $10 on that starter set. Get that first month for just 10 bucks. That's an unbelievable bargain right there. harrys.com, harrys.com, put in the promo code Mickey. We've got John Whittle coming up in our third hour. We'll do that at 8:05, talk some Gamecock baseball. Also opens your phone calls back up, your phone calls, texts, and tweets. Hour number 3, we'd love to have you come back right after this.